Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.
And it's Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Now, this month is Endometriosis Awareness Month. It's something we've been discussing and talking about here on Lunchtime Live for quite a period of time. But today, to answer your questions, I'm joined by Dr. Bart Cachera, who's a consultant at the Beacon Care Facility. I suppose, Bart, first of all, good afternoon. Thank you for joining us in studio. You specialise really in fertility and endometriosis. That's kind of, that's your area of expertise.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah. 1 in 10 people in this country living with endometriosis.
That's the safest guesstimate, basically, because if you look solely at patients that I'm seeing, so women with infertility, it will be 3 times more common. If you refer to the studies that were done, let's say by surgeons without special interest or focus on endometriosis, they will see that it's less than that for women who had what? Appendectomy, cholecystectomy, and the other surgery, but not gynecological. They will have different figures here.
Yeah, okay. If you have a question for Dr. Bart Cachera today, send it in to us. It's 087 1400 106. That's the WhatsApp number. Or you can give us a call. We'll put your questions to Bart today. There's a listener wondering, can your diet make any difference to the endometriosis symptoms, or can it help in any way, Bart? Is there anything I should avoid eating or maybe eat more of?
There's no major concern about the diet. However, you know, people using different supplements and, you know, modified diets, very, very unilateral, I would say, they can embark on diet that is rich in estrogens, like phytoestrogens. So estrogens, hormones that are derived from different plants, and it may exacerbate their problem. Because
what would that be now, just to give us examples of that?
Soy and soy products.
That would exacerbate the symptoms,
would it? It may, because it has estrogens in it. And, you know, estrogens actually feed and fuel endometriosis. That's an example.
Yeah, okay. Anything else you think this listener should maybe?
Well, not really, because, you know, that's very individual. People have so many dietary needs or specific, you know, allergies these days that they really have to prioritize what is their main goal and act upon that first, you know.
Yeah, okay. 087 1400 106 is the WhatsApp number. There's a texter here who says, I've been taking painkillers for years to deal with the pain of endo. They hardly scratch the surface, though. I'm on a waiting list to see a consultant about surgery. Is there anything I can do in the meantime?
A medical treatment can be attempted, and it's not a mistake these days to do an empirical trial if medications that are used for medical management of endometriosis would help. What would that be? These are, for instance, a common contraceptive pill taken without a break, so not to allow the bleeding to occur. There are others, there's progesterone-only pills, so based on progestogenic activity, which counteracts the estrogenic activity in the endometrium. And then a more, I wouldn't say serious, but, you know, heavier medications, so to say, which can put a woman into a medical menopause. Now, they are, you know, time restricted, but generally speaking, these are the strategies that are in line with what we know, which situations can.
So the contraceptive pill, but in this case, I suppose this listener is actually waiting to see a consultant about surgery. So if they're looking for painkillers, is that their GP you'd go to?
That's a GP that you go for. Pain management is the main problem, and sometimes it's a starting point for women to show any interest in endometriosis, or that is how they come to the diagnosis, through pain initially. But it's very symptomatic. It doesn't go to the core of the disease, really.
Another listener wondering, my doctor prescribed antidepressants for endometriosis, even though I'm not suffering with depression. Why would this be? Does he just not believe me? Asks this texter.
No, it's not a disbelief. Some of the antidepressants actually work well with pain perception and can be prescribed in line with the painkillers, or, you know, I wouldn't say instead, but they really can help with attenuating this leading symptom.
Okay, so what would be to do with the pain management side of it, is it?
It is on the pain management side, but also, you know, once you're in constant pain, your mood gets lower, and this is like a self-propelling mechanism where you're stressed, you're cramped, your muscle pain kicks in on top of the, you know, pelvic pain that you have, and it basically is a slow roll down, so just to prevent this from progressing.
Okay. Texter here wondering as well, can I get pregnant naturally if I have endometriosis, or will I need fertility treatment? I'm 29, I'm not planning a baby yet, but hopefully in the next few years.
The good news is, yes, you can get pregnant having endometriosis. Not every woman with endometriosis will get pregnant. That's true. However, endometriosis as a disease does not preclude a successful pregnancy and spontaneous conception. The disease can be, you know, from very minimal, mild to more and more advanced stages. So basically, with advancement of disease, the chances are lower. But even in the advanced endometriosis, you know, spontaneous pregnancies can happen.
Okay, so it's, but I suppose it is good news for that listener that it is.
Absolutely, it's good news. to just, you know, most of women who, I mean, that was kind of thinking years ago, most of women who do have endometriosis don't know of that because sometimes it's so mild and the symptoms are none or so mild that women just walk past by them and they have children, they have family completed, and all of a sudden in the, you know, late 30s, a woman has a surgery for whatever the reason and endometriosis is being found there and she has three kids at home. So this is not uncommon.
Okay. 087 1400 106 is the number. If you have a question for Dr. Bart Cachera from the Beacon Care Facility today. This listener says, it's an embarrassing question, but it's really painful when I have sex. The doctor says it could be endometriosis related. Is there anything I can do for it?
Well, complete the diagnosis first, because yes, pain on intercourse is one of the common things that is linked to endometriosis. It is partially responsible for lower fertility in women with endometriosis because they're less happy to have sex, less likely to engage in sexual activity. On the other hand, even if they are trying, you know, you don't want to try against your body. So it's crucial to have the diagnostics completed in full, including perhaps laparoscopy even. And if possible, you know, the endometriosis can be removed and it can help.
Yeah.
The other thing is physiotherapy is there for people and they should use it as well because, again, this is this kind of self-propelling mechanism with pain, stress, muscle contraction, muscle pain and pelvic floor.
I was going to ask you because I could see some of the messages coming in about that. You do recommend physiotherapy and
absolutely,
yeah,
yes,
for people with endometriosis.
Yes.
Yeah,
again, it won't cure endometriosis, but it will help to function on a daily basis.
It's worth it. Okay, listener says, is it hereditary? My mum had endometriosis and had to get a hysterectomy in the 90s.
Okay, this inheritance pattern is not well established. We know that women who have endometriosis usually have a first degree relative who had it as well. But again, you can be the only person in family who has it for generations, or there can be a line of you know, inheritance here. This is not confirmed yet.
It's not, okay, but you're aware of cases where it is, but that doesn't necessarily mean it would be the case as such. Okay. Does having a hysterectomy cure endometriosis or can it come back?
To a major degree, it does relieve the symptoms because, you know, one of the types of endometriosis, actually one of the common types of endometriosis is when the disease is present in the uterine muscle and that's where the source of pain is. So by the sheer fact that you're removing it, it can help. However, it's a hormonally dependent disease. So in uterus being removed as such is not a cure. Is the ovaries. If you remove the ovaries, that's when you usually receive a proper.
Okay.
Yeah.
087 1400 106. This listener's wondering, can endometriosis, can it be gone too far to get treatment or is treatment always suitable?
Well, that depends on the purpose of the treatment, because if your need is fertility, it's going to be different management and we will always try until, you know, we conclude that it's impossible to either, let's say, retrieve the eggs for IVF, or despite multiple transfer attempts, the embryos don't stay and implantation is not possible. At any stage, treatment is, you know, recommended, whether it's surgical or it's medical, that depends on the case. But equally, you know, there are women who have quite advanced endometriosis. They're asymptomatic and they don't need treatment as such.
Okay. There's a listener here who says, I suffered from endo. I ended up having a hysterectomy a year ago. I believe I may have endo remaining on my lower spine or organs as I continue to have significant pain. How can I confirm this if I do have any remaining endometriosis?
So today you can either have a second look laparoscopy or you can try through imaging techniques. So let's say MRI. There are techniques in MRI, the scanning techniques that can show the endometriotic changes in the pelvis and in the organs. But again, they have their specificity and the resolution is limited. So sometimes you have to go back to surgery to see for minor and seek for minor spots of endometriosis.
Really. Okay. And just finally for the moment, Bart, this listener says, my sister has been told that she had endometriosis because of retrograde menstruation. She has had an ablation in July, not excision. Does it mean that it'll definitely return like I've read in the news? She's 47 and doesn't want to have any more children.
Okay, so the idea of retrograde menstruation, figures don't add. You know, every second, every third, for sure, women will have a degree of retrograde menstruation, but only a small fraction of them will have endometriosis. That's one of the theories that trying to explain how it, you know, how it starts. But the fact of retrograde menstruation does not explain it fully. So, you know, with a 47-year-old woman who doesn't wish to have a child, you can equally, you know, stop the cycle and give HRT.
Okay. Okay. Listen, Bart, thank you for coming in, for joining us in studio today.
Welcome.
Plenty more questions coming in. It just shows you like the effect that endometriosis can have, that it has on people who are living with it on a daily basis. We'll podcast our chat with Bart today if you're only tuning into us and missed some of the questions. But that is Dr. Bart Cochera, who's a consultant at the Beacon Care Fertility.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday.
Brought to you by Active Iron
on News Talk.